CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's the end of August. My God, you haven't got much left for this year. Tell you what, done. It is done. This morning, we are joined by Lebang Hosana. There she is. Look at her. Let's say hi, Lebang. There she is. And we are joined by Michael Flax. Hello, Flax. How are you? What?
Wow.
It's a good day. Have a great day.
Oh, hang on, Flax. There's something wrong with your sound. Just sudden, it sounded like you were speeding up for a second there. Like you were talking at double speed. So weird. Yeah, I think just go out and come back in. No, it's still doing it. So go out and come back in.
Maybe this is how he speaks. What if this is actually like the speed at which you communicate? Good everything.
Oh, wow.
We don't accommodate people, okay?
So I saw you were in Sun City over the weekend.
I was, yes. In fact, initially when I'd planned the trip, my best friend and I had met in Sun City when we were 9 years old, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're like, oh, this will be nice. Reunion vibes. Gonna, you know, be in the place where we met, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was really not about that at all. We just ended up just having a really wild time, judging the summer awards, which were pretty bland as well. And most importantly, I just learned that I don't need to be a part of everything. You know, like sometimes you just throw the towel in on some activities and just let the kids do it. Let them do the running around and the all of that stuff.
I mean, like, this is quite a big deal. So you were a judge at the Summers, even though nobody cares.
I was.
Like the Summers. And
I'm at Sun City.
Yeah. I'm not being horrible about this, but like, I really don't know what's going on in music. So I'm in no position to be saying no one cares, but clearly no one cared because I didn't see any noise about it on social media. It's like no one, you know, 5 years ago, it was such a big deal. It was really huge. It was like the most, you know, it was the greatest honor. They used to have people flying in from all over the place. They had performances that were amazing. You know, there were artists that everybody would have recognized. Like, what do you think has happened to music besides the obvious, that now people don't sell music? You know, it's performance.
Yeah, it was very bad. You are spot on. You are spot on about everything you've just said. People don't care anymore. But most importantly, even the organizers themselves don't care anymore. Half of the guests weren't even there.
Oh,
things
wow.
were just badly organized. I felt like I was in a movie. I referred to it as the Fire Festival.
Oh,
you guys
wow.
remember the Fire Festival?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It was bad. Like, you get there, you don't know what's going on. People don't know where their rooms are. You don't know who to talk to. When we ask who we talk to, they don't want to tell us who we talk to. It was just a long hurry up and wait. And then after you wait, you eventually, like, settle in. But it's just still chaotic because that energy is already in the air. And it was very sad. And it's sad to see them squander something that should be really, you know, entertaining. Something, as you're saying, you're honoring musicians and what they do for state in South Africa. But it just felt like a bit of a bye-bye.
Yeah, and you were a judge. I mean, like you were there to judge. So I mean, if they treated you like you know, oh, we don't know which room you're in, and blah blah blah. Then like, what chance is there for anyone who's attending as a guest? I don't think anyone can just go and, you know, enjoy this show the way it was meant to be enjoyed. It's like, look, let's also face
what
it.
What were the goodie bags like?
Goodie
back
bags.
In the day,
what
they
goodie
were extreme.
Bags?
Oh, budget that
there
low.
Absolutely no goodie bag. There was nothing.
Wow.
Like, I saw so many celebrities stranded. Like, actual celebrities, like the few we have in this country, were all just like, we don't know what's happening. I was like, ooh, I should have just stayed home.
I went to the Summers once. I don't know how many years ago. It must be 12, 10, 8, somewhere around there. Somewhere between 12 and 8 years ago. We got goodie bags. We got these suitcases.
Wow.
You know, like the kind of suitcase that you'd take to the airport for a weekend away. And it was full of stuff.
Yeah.
Like Ray-Bans. Yeah, Ray-Ban sunglasses. Like new sneakers. Like amazing stuff. It was really, really cool. I opened it because, you know, normally you go to these things. I don't care about goodie bags. But this was awesome. It was probably the best goodie bag I've ever got in South Africa for anything. And I thought, wow, these guys are really on top of things. But I think that was the year, I'm pretty sure it was the year that Randall took over and ran the Sarmas, because, you know, he's such a stickler, and he's now in charge. He's now the CEO of Prime Media Broadcasting. And he just didn't tolerate any, like, slack, lazy, useless people. And he was like, no, this is going to be good, or else we're not going to do it properly. And he just kicked backside and made sure he cracked the whip and people were doing their thing. But I'm just surprised, and at the same time I'm not, because if you think about it, even the Oscars, the Grammys, I mean, they had the MTV VMAs, right? I saw this only because Jen Hsu had it on her social media. And they showed so I saw, like, they were doing it in some nondescript building, because I saw Lizzo, like, walking in this really big billowing dress, and Jen's, like, saying, "Hey, Lizzo, you look so great, blah, blah, blah." And then but it looks like she's just walking into a building for a meeting, because there's no, like, red carpet or anything. And this is the MTV VMAs, which, again, no one's watching anymore, right? So it's not just us Sarmas.
So, like, you guys can fall off. Don't fall off this hard. It's like they've just gone,
yeah,
and they just don't care to.
I think people are just people are over award ceremonies. I mean, like, even the Oscars. Did you watch the Oscars this year? I didn't. Did you watch it, Flex?
No, not even.
No. It's just not it's not a priority, like, for people anymore.
I don't have DSTV or any of those things to watch.
Flex, I don't know what's going on with your sound. It started fine, and now it's like, blah, 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 blah. Like this weird thing that's happening. It might just be that. Get rid of that. Let's just try and reset maybe it's your mic. No, just go off your headphones and Sipiwe, can you help Mike?
Speaking in like super
fast. Am I better? Mode.
That's better. Maybe. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'll clap myself.
Okay, so you were saying something about the Oscars. We couldn't hear you because you were like a chipmunk.
No, I don't even have DSTV to watch this stuff. I don't even know where they broadcast it.
Yeah. No, I don't know either.
When it comes to Oscars and all that stuff, I just hear the gossip. If someone did something weird, I remember that moment. You remember the moment with Eminem where, like, he sat on, like, someone's face, or a bodyguard sat on someone's face? That was the last time I ever watched the Oscars or MTV or something.
Yeah.
When Eminem was still, like, the hottest rapper.
Sure. Yeah, wow. That was years ago.
I mean, Ryan even says in the comments here, like, I don't know one musician who won any award at the Sarmas this year. Also, all invites were to the local TikTokers who have no relation to the music industry.
100%. Like, who are these people? Like, everybody here is 18 years old. You just realize that you're in the wrong place. Like, you're not the target market anymore.
You know what it's
like, people got...
You know what it also comes down to is, like, unfortunately, these days, everyone thinks they're a celebrity. and anyone can be because of social media, which is fine. I mean, I'm not against that at all. I think it's great if, you know, if it's an open business where anybody can become famous for doing, like, dance videos or whatever else the hell they do. But the problem is, because they're only in it for themselves, my big problem with that is that they don't actually take even a second to celebrate anyone else. So it's me all the time. So nobody really gives a damn about the musician, if that's what they're there for, or the actor, if that's what they're there for, or this one, if that's what they're there for. You know, before it was a big deal because it was hard and it was rare to be a celebrity. Like, celebrities were people. You didn't just encounter these people every time you opened your phone. Now, you probably see more celebrities than you see friends, because – maybe you see your friends on the weekend, and celebrities, you're looking at this thing every day, and you're seeing people every day. So it's become – the value of celebrities dropped. Yeah. And the celebrities themselves, celebrities in inverted commas, social media ones, don't give a damn about anyone but themselves. They're only in it for themselves. So I would imagine, you know, content creator, influencer-type celebrities going to the Sarmas or whatever else it is, and then standing around making their own content – rather than being part of an event. So,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We just have too much access to these people's lives. We know too much. Like back in the day, to become a famous individual, number one, you had to have a lot of talent. You had to work your ass off to be, you know, visible. Now it's almost too easy to be visible. So if everybody has access to that one thing, then anybody can tell themselves that, hey, I must be on the same level as these celebrities because here we are on the same platforms, all pretending to have a good life. We're all faking it, basically. So definitely the quality of people in some of these positions has just dropped way too much. And it's taken the joy out of certain events, activities, and just certain situations. Like, the joy is just gone because it's like, you can see exactly what this is.
I totally agree with you, but not just the joy. They've also taken out the shine, the showbiz, the real, like, sparkle. You know, the fact is, when and if you saw celebrities and you didn't see them every day on your phone, they were always looking magnificent. They were always, it was poised, it was positioned, it was part of a PR idea. It wasn't like you could just access me anytime you want, like, you know, you just phone a friend of yours or whatever. It used to be something that was rare. And as you say, Lebung, these people were talented and they worked really hard. They weren't just attention seeking 24/7. And I know we sound a little bit like a stuck record about this, but it saddens me that, you know, there aren't any real superstars left in South Africa. I think the last one who we can say we honestly had who was a massive superstar is like Desmond Tutu. Okay, and after that, because he was a star, but he wasn't one of the... He's certainly a Hugh Masekela, but that's now a while ago, right? And I don't think those people exist anymore. I don't think they're around. I think they're done. I think now it's like, okay, everybody, let's have a big bun fight to see who the next big celebrity is. And it's only going to... Your celebrity is only going to last like 10 minutes, so get into it. I mean, I look at the kind of people...
Do you not think that the like younger generation, the new generation, has a different concept on what a celebrity is? To them, a celebrity is someone with a mass following, not with a talent.
They do. Definitely.
100%. That's a part of the problem.
Yeah, but
I'm saying that's literally a part of the problem.
But Flex, why would I care how many people are following you? Or why would I care? Like, if I'm interested in someone, it's not a draw card to me. And I'm not being like just old and boring here. But like, why would I give a shit how many people are following you? Like, what do you offer me as a viewer, as a listener, as audience? You know, what are you offering me? I'm not there just to see how many other people follow you. Why would I care about that?
It's like psychology at the end of the day. If you're walking through a shopping center and you see a shop with a whole bunch of people waiting to get in, you think, oh my God, this is the new cool shop. I want to get in. You get in line and you can get in there. It's the worst shop ever. But because everyone else thinks they're cool, hence the following, and you can buy your followers nowadays. We lost talent, and the talent that we did have here has either caught a plane out or passed on.
Sadly, yeah. I think you're right. I think that's exactly right. I don't get excited about celebrities like I used to. And it was a big deal. You know, I also remember like TV, even people used to present on TV. They were just there between shows on TV, right? Do you remember those people? They were like a big deal.
Yeah.
When you saw them, it was like, wow, there's someone properly
you get
famous.
Starstruck.
Yeah, sure.
You literally still got starstruck back then. Like, can I please have a picture?
Yeah.
I think the only person that I saw this weekend that got me like that was Makazi. And Makazi Duwana is like the biggest performers in the country, but she was just like so chill, humble, just doing her things. Like, she's one of the last few of those kinds of people, because like she's a different breed, but still, that's not the point.
I don't even know who that is. I feel I'm embarrassed to know. I don't even know who that is, you know.
You don't know her. Guys, it's bad. Just know that it's bad. But you know what, another layer of this is brands approach people with lots of followers, right? For collaborations and blah blah blah. So people that have lots of followers end up feeling more important than they really are.
Yes.
They don't really influence anyone, let's be honest. They don't do any influencing. But the brands and the companies make them feel so important that they start to believe that they are this important. And now we're dealing with just a bunch of hotheads who all have like 60 million followers trying to convince everybody to eat chocolate, whereas they don't even eat chocolate themselves. So when you engage with them on a personal level, you're like, I thought you were actually cool, but you're not as cool. It's just the numbers, and it's very sad. And the repercussions of it are even worse. So we'll just see how it goes.
Well, here's Tracy. So Tracy takes pictures of people, and she's a photographer. I once did photos for a proper celebrity, 500,000 followers, a big deal. She was amazed that I didn't get work from collabing with celebs. She admitted to me that she cannot afford the lifestyle that she portrays.
Yep.
Oh, life like that, where you literally just renting a jet for the runway and taking a photo. And
I don't know what.
That blows your budget.
Now, what's going on with you two today? I'm sorry, Flaxi and Lebang. I like you guys are both. There's something wrong with your connections in both cases. Why don't you both just leave and come back in? Because I don't know what the hell's happening here.
Okay,
like, there's this clicking on your microphones. There's like a whole lot of shit going down. Very annoying. Trying to get this sound right. I don't know what the hell the problem is. Anyway, so a lot of people saying here, yeah, but Gareth, we were young and impressionable, and that's who present celebrities are aiming at. That's true. I think that's absolutely true. But, you know, at the same time, you can look objectively at things like the ratings on the Oscars. You know, the ratings being, and maybe it's because there's also so much more to watch now, that why would you watch the stupid Oscar ceremony, right? I mean, now you could watch a whole series on Netflix. Why would you want to watch some boring ceremony in L.A.? That makes sense to me, but objectively, the ratings in all of these awards shows have gone down the toilet. So it's interesting to me. It's just, it's bizarre that, you know, that humans have just, we've changed our whole way of like absorbing content, who we listen to, who we're interested in, all of that stuff. Anyway, so it feels, this is back to the celebrity that Tracy took pictures of. She feels shit for putting this fake lifestyle out there, but it is her bread and butter. Brands literally throw their money and brands at her. See, that's also what happens when money gets into any equation. It tends to just cheapen everything, because brands will throw money at people, and then they'll want associations. But maybe those people are just not, their heart's not in it, and then it's a fake thing. So in that case, who do we blame? Do we blame the brands? Do we blame the celebrities? Do we blame capitalism? You know, who do you blame?
No, in this case, it's her. If this is her bread and butter and she can't even afford the knife to spread the butter, cancel it. Find something else you're good at. You're just wasting your money. And sooner or later, you're going to get old and wrinkly and no one's going to care about your Instagram pictures. And then you're going to be destitute with no money and it's going to be a terrible life. Get out of it now. Everyone thinks that they want validation from becoming a celebrity. Let me tell you, the cool kids don't care. That's it. The cool kids don't care if they're celebrity or not.
Hey, aren't you?
That's true.
Aren't you turning?
Stop trying to impress people.
Aren't you turning 30 in a couple of days' time?
Literally, not next week. The week after, I'm 30 years old, and I went and got all my gray hairs cut out yesterday. This thing called a skin fade. You can't see gray hairs; just skin now, pure skin. Soon I'm going to just shave it off.
Jesus, Flex. I remember you came to work for us. You were like 20.
Rough one.
You were 21 years old or something.
Oh, I was living my best life. I was like drinking tequila off tables with celebrities. I was jawling.
Yeah,
I had a good run. Good innings. And now I'm getting 50.
It happens quickly, hey? Sure. It really happens quickly.
Okay. Checkpoint.
Rena, my business partner, always says time is a complete illusion. Like you don't realize that it's all we try to measure it with watches and clocks, and we try to see what's going on with time, and we try to plan our day, and we've got schedules, and we've got diaries, and we've got calendars, and none of that stuff actually matters, because if you're not paying attention, it goes by like that. I was saying to someone just the other day that, you know, there are a lot of people who live in the past, and I'm one of those people who loves the past. It's a huge part of what I think the human story is all about, and your own personal story, your past. You know, there are lots of people who carry a lot of baggage from their past and trauma and all that kind of thing. And then there are people who carry, their memories and their identity as part of who they were in the past, and that's hugely important to them. Then obviously you get the present, which we'll get back to in a second, ironically. And then the future, where most people are trapped. Most people are trapped, like, they're trapped in what tomorrow's going to bring and where they're going. And, you know, they're ambitious and they've got goals and all of that's terrific. But to get back to the middle one, when you live in the present, the only truly happy people I've ever met are the ones who are living in the present. They're not that concerned about how quickly things are moving and how much they still have to do or what happened to them yesterday. What issues they've got with this person from a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
The really happy people are the ones who are living right now. So the ones who are where they are right now and wouldn't want to be anywhere else. In other words, they don't have FOMO.
Yeah, but we dip in and out, eh? We don't really have just one.
No, of course. No.
There's times when you think about the past. There's times when you think about the future. But you're definitely right. I think the people that are stopping to be in the moment and are fully inside where they are, and I'm gonna stop to take a picture and share that picture right now on Instagram. And people that even forget to catch a moment because the moment was when they were right there at that time, and that was enough for them, are generally like the most chilled people.
Yeah.
They like not even concerned about what we're gonna eat tomorrow, what we're gonna do tomorrow. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But you know, you just need to pick your lane and decide where you're gonna be.
What are you doing for your birthday? Speaking of living in the future, Flex.
So I try to avoid it at all costs. Friends wanted to have a birthday party. I'm like, I don't want a birthday party. I'm even disappearing to Cape Town for it. I'm like,
oh, wow.
No one can throw me a surprise birthday party in Cape Town.
Cape Town.
The boys are like, we're flying down to Cape Town. And there's this awesome place in Cape Town I found. No one knows about it. It's in Sea Point. It's a club called LA Lounge. It is the most gangster place I've ever been to. And I love gangster music. I put on a concert there. I rapped. It was like a Drake appreciation night. Place me in there any day. I wish I went to school there. I had the fattest jaw ever.
That's amazing.
So I'm hoping to get a table there. And the boys will fly in for the weekend. And we'll just celebrate that one night. And then wake up the next day in a minute past 30 and midlife crisis too. So very exciting times ahead, eh?
Oh, come on. No midlife crisis. You must be mad.
You're not even midlife yet, Liv.
Yeah, I actually can't complain. Everything's actually going right in my life at this point. I've got health, wealth, and happiness, and I actually can't complain. I mean, I woke up this morning at 4:30 excited for the day, and I was like, I'm not going back to sleep.
That's
this
awesome.
Is an epic day already.
Love that.
Yeah,
And 30 is still so young and fresh, dude. Like, on paper, it looks like it's a big number.
Yeah.
And that, oh my word, so much is going to change. Now I need to mature. Dude, you are still very, very young. Take it from me. I literally turned 30 like maybe 2 years ago. But I don't feel like, you know, there's this big, massive change I need to make. If you just continue to be yourself and just live out your best life, dude, everything will feel like it's just flowing. You know, you're just going with the ages. You shouldn't feel like it's a big number. There's still a lot that you're going to learn about yourself. There's still things you're going to do that are going to surprise you about yourself. But just be your true self at all times, and you're going to have a lack of joy. I mean, go to those gangster clubs.
Yeah,
go
for
to
sure.
Go to those little gangster clubs and do
sure.
performances, baby.
So, you see, this is what I was saying about the present and the future and the past, is that there are three different versions of you competing for attention at any given time. And the one who should get the most attention is the present one. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being excited about something that's coming. So, like, for example, you know, your birthday is coming up. Maybe you're really excited to see friends or go to this place in Cape Town or do something fun. So you've got to be living a little bit in the future. So it gives you something to look forward to, right? And that's hugely important. Mm. Something to aim at in the future. And the past thing is also part of the story. You can't ignore your past. You can't just cut the past loose and pretend it's not there. You have certain things that you carry forward from that are important to you and that are important to everyone around you as well. So don't throw that away. But 90% of it, okay, let's say 80% of it needs to be right now. It's like, you know what? I'm enjoying this now. So when you're sitting with somebody and you think, I'd rather be with someone else, a lot of people who are in you know, long-term relationships feel that way sometimes. And don't beat yourself up about it. We all do. If you're with someone and you're like, oh, I'd rather be with these people, or I'd rather be with that person, or I'd rather be doing this, don't beat yourself up about it. But instead, look them in the eye and decide that that moment that you've got with them is worth mining. It's like a rich vein of gold. So, I mean, often I'll get on this show and I'll be like, oh, it's so early. Oh, I don't feel like doing this. And then someone will come on, a guest or a co-host or somebody. I'll have the most incredible conversation with them. And I'll think afterwards, it wasn't just the show. It was actually the most amazing opportunity to connect with this person, to learn something about them, to learn something about the world, learn something about myself. You know, we could all, like, basically this morning, none of us needed to go to the Psalms this weekend. You went for us, Lebang. And you told us enough to make it, you know, interesting for us to discuss. And we didn't have to be there like you were. And similarly, you know, Flax is going to this gangster club, and I think it's gonna be amazing. There's not a single part of me that wishes I was there, but I'm really like kind of pleased that we had the conversation about it, because now at least, you know, if I ever feel the need to go to some club and do like a Drake appreciation thing, I'll know who to call. I'll call up Michael Flax and he'll help us to figure it out, right?
You'll love it. You'll never leave. You'll set up studio there. That's the greatest place there. A little touch of heaven in Sea Point.
Well, Simon says 50-year-old rolls eyes. Yeah, don't get too miserable and old, Simon. You gotta also enjoy what you're at, where you're at the moment. Paul says, lol, 30, you're still a baby. Long way to go. Try 60 on for size. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, you see, this is what I love.
XP.
We've got people who are listening to us this morning who are 22, 23. We've got people who are listening to us this morning who are 68. And it's terrific. You know, I got a letter. Oh, I didn't tell you guys this. I got a handwritten letter from a lady in Port Elizabeth who listens to us. And she sent me a book as a gift. But it was a handwritten letter on, like, you know that old writing paper where people used to have, they had their own writing paper. And she'd written this handwritten note. Not parchment. Mm. She's not from ancient Egypt. But I got this really cool letter from this woman. And I thought, that's so damned awesome. I mean, obviously, I love, you know, a comment on Instagram or an email if someone sends an email about the show and all of that stuff. Love it. But there's something so special about the fact that we can have those things. And I can get a handwritten letter from this lady in PE who's old. Mm. She's you know, she's definitely no spring chicken. And it's just great to get all of that stuff in, you know, in the world of feedback. You're getting it from so many different places. It's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, when last did you get anything handwritten? Oh. Like an actual letter that you can touch with your own hands. It's just, you know, that's when you like appreciate it a little bit more, because it's not as easy as just sort of like sitting there typing, right? You actually gave it thought and you said, I'm going to sit down, take this pen, I'm going to write my thoughts on this paper, I'm going to freaking send it down to Johannesburg and make sure Gareth Cliff gets it. I mean, you can almost frame it at this stage. It just feels nice. I mean, these kids have no freaking cooking clue. What that's like, you know, they're just like typing every day of their lives. Like, my kids have no clear what, like, idea what a CD is. I said, do you know what this is? And he was just like, huh? And I was like, yo, wait. Yeah.
My friends and I went on a mission the other day to try and find a CD. Just any CD, just to find a CD. Don't know where they sell it. Literally have no idea.
No, I don't know where anybody's selling CDs anymore, but I actually said to a friend of mine, he's just built, well, he hasn't built, he's just bought a new apartment, right? So in his new apartment, he's actually got a whole setup, like a very old school, like CD setup. And he said to me, he's now going to go and try and like source CDs. So I'm like, I'll bring you a whole bunch, because what am I going to do with them? I don't even have a thing to play CDs from. Not even my laptop has like a CD drive in it. So I don't, I mean, if I wanted to get the music off of there, I wouldn't know how to. But just to quickly go back to the thing about the letter, and then we've got to get to some headlines. What is so amazing about a letter is, as you say, Lebang, you have to think about it. You have to get the paper. You have to get a pen. You have to write nicely. I mean, if it has to be legible, right? So you actually put some craft and some effort into the presentation of the thing. And because you don't want a letter with things scratched out, you have to think about it like you wouldn't think about an email. With an email, you type something and then you edit it afterwards. You can delete a word. You can change a sentence. You can put a space in or whatever. It's easy to do that on a computer. But if you're writing a letter, you have to think about it beforehand. You have to be like, all right, paragraph, let me put the name up here, let me write this many words here, change that word. Before you write it, you have to get it right. So sometimes you do a draft, and then you do a final version. So already people have put more effort into a page of writing than they do into 10 pages of typing.
Typing, yeah, 100%. And that's educating a little bit of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're writing that letter, it's a piece of yourself that you are, like, presenting to whoever you're writing this for.
Correct.
And that's what makes it special. It's a part of you. It's like art. Sure, it's just writing on paper, sure. But, like, now I can truly say it's a form of yourself.
Yeah.
We're getting a piece of you. You have to think about it, you know?
Definitely. And the other thing when you receive it, You're not just going to read it and throw it away like you delete an email.
Nope.
Sorry, Flax, you were saying?
When last did you guys hold a pen? I literally, like, it might be a week that I haven't held a pen.
No, I've got pens all over the place.
Everything's just notes are
typed. I've got pens everywhere.
Right, yeah.
Don't think.
Literally.
No. I got a pen and paper.
I've got sticky notes everywhere.
Everywhere. You know, Flax, you've sat in meetings with me, so have you, Lebang. I keep notebooks of every meeting I've been in. I write the names of the people in the meeting, I write the date, and then I write down some general notes about the things that we're discussing, especially stuff that has to be done or whatever. And I've now got I've got basically one of these books for every year that we've done Cliff Central. So I can actually go back now and see who I met with on any given day. And it's bloody amazing. Like I found the other day, notes.
That's so cool.
I found notes from a meeting that we had in probably our first or second year. And there was a whole bunch of people. It was when we were designing our app. And it was these people from all over the world. You know, there were people from Holland who'd come out to help us do it. And there were people from Apple. And it was really, it was amazing. And I looked back and thought, wow, this is pretty damn cool. You know, and I've got a record of it. So it isn't just gone. I mean, for all I know, those people have forgotten meeting with me. But when I found my notes, I was like, damn, this is cool.
Yeah. It's like a little time machine. You can literally go back to any time when you met someone for the first time. And also, what do you remember about those meetings? Do you remember how that person actually made you feel? You don't really remember what you spoke about. You don't remember who was wearing. And none of that mattered. It was just the energies. You know what I mean? So you can look back on that, like your own little personal, you know, handwritten Instagram, Gareth.
Well, it's not just me. Nice. Sanele also says, I still write in a journal and a notebook, even though my handwriting is terrible. Well, listen, I'm the first to admit, my handwriting used to be a whole lot better than it is now. It's absolutely terrible. All right. Let's just look at a couple of headlines, guys. Otherwise, we get carried away here and we forget that there are actual important things going on. So, Instagram says that apparently your precise location is never actually shared. This is what they're saying. It's from the BBC this morning. So Instagram says viral claims suggesting location tags on content can reveal exact locations are false. Viral posts and videos have a precise location toggle in the app location settings on iOS and Android devices, and they could share your exact location with other Instagram users. Some viral posts suggest this is the result of an Instagram or iOS update, but they've said this is not the case. The feature does not share location with other users. Well, again, shouldn't you take some responsibility here? You guys tell me. I mean, when I post something on Instagram, if it's at the office or if it's in a public place or if it's somewhere where I want people to have a precise location, sure, I'll drop it. But the rest of the time, no. You know, if I'm at a private birthday party or I'm at a friend's house or I'm at my own house, I'm not going to drop a precise location when I put up content. Why would I?
I go the fun route and I'll make up my own locations. Like you tag it as heaven or Funderbale Park or just some random thing.
Well, from heaven to Funderbale Park. I mean, well,
Funderbale Park.
That's a big big
like
jump.
Worlds apart.
Yeah.
Do that. Tag random places. Be like in Cape Town on Clifton, but tag it as like the bowl or somewhere.
Yeah, no, I do sometimes
do that. Confuse everyone.
Yeah. No, I do. What do you do, Lebang? Do you give people your exact locations, like even over this weekend?
Like, I don't think I do. Like, I'm not interested in people knowing exactly where I am. I think it's a little bit creepy. If it's, like, for a specific reason and I want people to know, then I'll do it. But I don't even know where the setting even really is on my Instagram.
So
isn't that scary?
Well,
for
interest's sake, they've actually shared a screen, which I'll put up now so that you can see it as well. Because actually, they have just done an update, and it might be worth just checking this out. So go onto your phone quickly. I'll put the screen up here so you can see what it is. And then they've got a new button that says precise location. Okay, so you will see. And obviously, it's useful. Sometimes it's useful to have a precise location, but often not. So if you look at your iOS screen, you obviously go to location, which is there on the settings. You know what we're talking about here? Privacy, location services. And then what you do is in Instagram on those location services, you'll see it says precise location. You see that? There's a new tab.
Yes.
So if you've updated, you'll see it's right at the bottom of the location screen.
Mine is on.
Yeah, you switch that off if you want it off. So just do that in case. So
this is how they get you. This is exactly how they get you. With these funny little things. And you're like, ooh, new update. That's cool. Then they're just doing too much. You're giving them too much of yourself. Too much information about who you are, and it's just, you have to try find a way to balance that quickly.
So apparently when you turn that off, according to your phone, apps can only determine your approximate location. See, Instagram is not one of those you need a precise location for. Uber, you want a precise location. If for emergencies, if someone's trying to find you, you want the precise location, but not for Instagram. And I would go into all social media. Like I can see some of the others in here, you might want to take off precise location as well. So now you know. There you go. We try to be useful on the show. See?
I remember watching YouTube videos where these guys would go, American guys would go like to Venice Beach, and they would go onto Instagram and go recently tagged in these places.
Yeah.
They would find the person and go up to the person after like going through their news feed and everything and act like they knew the person and was like, how was Barbados last week? Because they saw it on their page. And literally, it was like a social experiment that proved that you can literally find a person and know their entire life just from Instagram, which is scary.
Very scary.
Quite scary and not safe at all. You know too much about my life. Like, that's way too much information for anybody to have access to.
Totally freaked me out. All right, then they found a bottle of KWV port that is 100 years old. And it has sparked a bidding war at an auction. Okay, so it's KWV Jubilee Port from 1929. And you know how we've done Collectomania on the show, so we're interested in collecting crazy things. Strauss & Company's Cape Heritage Wine Auction, featuring almost 100 lots, is expected to close. In fact, it would have closed at 1900 hours on Monday this week. The most valuable lot on offer, according to the auctioneer's estimates, include the Sadie family's O. Wingert Reeks 2009 collection. A single bottle, this is amazing, a single bottle of this stuff is worth, let me put a picture of it up as well so you can actually have a look at this quickly. And you tell me if you think, it doesn't look like it. It looks almost like an old, like something that's been left at the back of the shelf and nobody really wants it. Look at this. There it is. That's this fancy port, right? How do you like the metals? Mm. So that's one of the things.
It probably tastes amazing. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It probably like really, really goes up.
Oh, I'm sure it's phenomenal. Port is great. So anyway, they're looking at all these different ones. Includes a bottle of this. They say that'll fetch between 30,000 and 40,000 rand. Clan Constantia Vin de Constance, which is 35,000 rand, and a 1957 Chateau Libertas that they're looking to sell at between 17,000 and 20,000 rand.
I'd still rather choose like crackling from Potchefstroom over like this.
Okay,
Pearl, what?
The stuff that you get in a box with a tap on it. That's what you're looking for.
That thing is like 16 Rand. 16 yeah. Rand, 17 Rand, you sort it for like the whole night.
Good stuff right there. Some of the finest out of Potch.
Oh, yeah, because they grow so much great stuff in Potch. All right, so listen to this. This is from News 24. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, has appointed 9 people to form part of a National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council. So he doesn't know what corruption is. He needs a team of people to tell him, the president.
Also, 19 isn't enough in this country. You need like a couple thousand. We got a lot of shit to do.
The presidency,
they'll also be corrupt is the sad thing.
The presidency on Monday announced the move. It's characterized as strengthening South Africa's fight against fraud and corruption. I've been listening to Cyril talk about fraud and corruption for all the time he's been president. And I keep thinking, but dude, you must be really, really bad at this whole like identifying corruption thing, because you were in the cabinet while Jacob Zuma was doing the whole, you know, state capture thing. And you were like, huh? I didn't know that was going on. Huh? I'm so shocked. This guy's really, really doff when it comes to these kinds of things. So he needs a whole bunch of other people to help him do it. And I've never heard of these people. Maybe you have. They come from diverse backgrounds of civil society, academia, and labor. You ready? Kavisha Pillay, David Harris Lewis, Nkosana Dolopi, Barbara Schreiner, Nokuzula Gloria Kumalo, Professor Feroz Kachalia. I've heard of him. He's the only name so far that I recognize. Sekwetlane Pamoti and Tandega Kubule Beki, and then also Nkoskazi Nomandla Dorothy Mhlauli, who's the deputy chair. So I don't know any of those names except Feroz Kachalia. And apparently the council will help Ramaphosa to fight corruption and help with the effective implementation of the anti-corruption strategy by the government, blah, 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 blah. So there we go. He's appointed a panel.
Won't be hard for them to find corruption.
Hello, Baba.
I'm being bullied. Say hello to your uncles. Say hello.
So cute.
Let me go put her to bed.
She's gorgeous. She looks just like
dead.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, she's a child. 6:45. She should not be awake at this time.
All right, I thought
like 6 o'clock, children are up.
She's so cute.
Not 2 years old, no.
She's gorgeous. Sticking its tongue out there. Look, have a look. All right, Lebang, we'll let you go and sort that out. All right, well, that's what the president's doing. He's busy appointing a team of people to advise him on corruption instead of actually just arresting people for corruption. Doesn't that seem like the thing to do? Just arrest them. We need people.
It's like one of those shoot yourself in the foot moments. This isn't going to end well.
No, it's just such a waste
it's
of
like
time.
It's like starting like a vegan protest. Like it doesn't
right,
work.
Right. Nobody cares, right? All right. So that's one thing in the headlines. Here's another thing. Fuel prices are still on track for a cut. Oh, this is great news. Let's take every little cut we can get, right? Apparently,
is it the first Wednesday?
So according to the latest data, the price of 95 unleaded petrol is expected to fall by around 2.28 rand a litre in the first week of September. Yes. That's fantastic news. The price of 93 petrol could drop around 2.12 rand a litre. Diesel could be reduced by more than 1 rand a litre. So that's all very good news, and we'll take it. Earlier this month, it looked like a 2 rand. You were saying?
I went to go fill up like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, is it going down? And he's like, yeah, it goes down the first week of September. I was like, cool. Let's just tiny bit in there. And then next week we check in on those savings.
Yeah, well, I suppose prices coming down doesn't always translate into lower prices everywhere, because the problem with that is that obviously they put up food prices and everything else when the petrol price goes up, but they never bring those food prices down. So even if petrol comes down,
really?
Yeah. You go to the shops now, you'll see they're not going to suddenly go, oh, well, you know, bread and milk and everything else is coming down by 50 cents. When the prices go up, they keep the prices up. All right.
Everything goes up except for your salary. Everything around you will go up except for the salary, honey.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's going on. What else can we look at here? There's quite a lot of news this morning, actually. I'm surprised. I thought that this week was going to be a very dull, uninteresting week because, you know, when politicians make the news, it's never exciting. More bad news for struggling South Africans. The 350 Rand grant payments are expected to be delayed. Now, why is this important? Well, a lot of people depend on this. According to various reports, it looks like there will be a delay. What could be the reason? Well, it seems the government has implemented new regulations for the grant. Oh, more regulations. In early August, Lindiwe Zulu, who's the Social Development Minister, gazetted changes to the grant regulations. So what they've done, they're still calling this COVID relief, by the way. She's calling or asking that the grant amount be increased from 350 to 642 a month. This is in order to align with the food poverty line. South African Social Security Agency said more people can apply for the grant as regulations have been amended. So who knows what's going to happen there. But it seems...
That thing is so sad. It's very sad, guys. Yes. I actually once went to the post office. Sorry, Flex. I once went to the post office. There was this huge line. I was like, Jesus, everybody, you know, needing the post office? And then the guy that works is like, no, this is the line for the grant. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. These people in that line for about 2-3 hours. And then at the end of that, they're like, oh, sorry, everyone. None of you will be getting your 350 today because we have no more cash.
Oh.
Those poor people. I was like, what? This was in Sunning Hill. Dude, I was so upset. I was like trying to fight for them. Like, can we go draw some money somewhere? These people clearly need this 350. And that line was long, guys. Yo, it made me very sad. Like, the reality of what's happening in this country, sometimes you just like... It just like hits you and you're like, crap. It's actually very
No, it's awful. That's very really
Ill.
Awful. Jesus. So, Flex, you're...
This is a great starting point for the anti-corruption Avengers. Like, literally just open up the Sunday Times and pick a page to go off.
Lebang, are you also hearing him like a chipmunk again?
Dude, I'm definitely hearing him like a chipmunk. And I don't know what to do
What's
about it.
Like, so weird.
I've just accepted that this is how Flex speaks.
Yeah, that's some people who've never met him before think that's what he actually sounds like. And blah, 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 blah. So weird.
And he really doesn't.
No. I bet Cyril's corruption council will sound as bad as Flax's mic. Sorry, Flax, what were you saying? Because this thing is just not working with us this morning.
Oh, and it was quality. It was such quality. I was saying that this anti-corruption Avengers could literally just pick up the Sunday Times and point on a page to go after.
Yeah, that's all they need to do.
We
need another panel.
But then I turned into a chipmunk.
Have you guys seen what the World Economic Forum wants us to be eating in 2030? This, you're going to love this. All right, so I'm just put this up on the screen as well because this is unbelievable. So you know the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, we've been talking about them almost every day. They're a bunch of assholes, like these really rich people who get together every year in Davos or wherever. And then they tell us how the world's going to work. And these are the people who were supposedly helping us through COVID and ended up doing a worse job than anything else. So I'm going to put this up on the screen. You cannot actually believe what these people think our diet will consist of by 2030. 2030 is not that far away, huh? We're a couple of...
It's now.
No, we're a couple of months off of 2023. So here's what they say we're going to be eating. Are you ready? This is the World Economic Forum. So it's divided this pie into five parts. The biggest part is intermittent fasting. So we won't be eating. We will eat 40% less food in 2030 to meet net zero. This is good for our waistlines and good for the planet. You can eat nothing and be happy. This is an actual World Economic Forum. Have you ever heard such shit in your life, right? So this is how they're talking to us. The little piece down at the bottom there is alternative proteins, all right? A third of our protein will come from soy-based proteins, lab-grown meat, and upcycled citizens. Now, I'm pretty sure this is a joke when I see upcycled citizens. I can't believe. That means that they're gonna feed us, what, dead people? I'm pretty sure this is going to be a joke.
On.
All right, then the next one across is micro-livestock. Two-thirds of our protein needs will come from micro-livestock like cockroaches, flies, and worms. Fantastic.
Now, I can tell you Tasha's is not going to serve any micro-livestock in their condition.
Then the piece at the top is micronutrients and synthetic nutrients. Most fresh fruits and vegetables will be replaced by supplements made by World Economic Forum partner corporations. And then...
Oh, they're creating the problem and the company to solve it.
Exactly.
Geniuses.
Exactly. And then at the top there, seed oils. Oils like canola and more sustainable are more sustainable, plus they reduce levels of toxic testosterone. So, of course, they want to eliminate men as part of the plan here, too. So we all end up totally feminist.
This is probably the first thing that they're saying that could be applicable.
Listen, this is, I mean, obviously there's a part of this that's a joke, but I wouldn't put it past these assholes to decide, oh, you know what, why do these people, it's no different to Marie Antoinette saying let them eat cake. This is the World Economic Forum saying let them eat insects. Screw them. Why should they be happy? Why should they have anything nice to eat? So there we go.
This upcycled citizens. Are you sure they didn't mean to say recycled citizens?
Oh, upcycled citizens. I'm pretty sure it's like, you know, eat your dead.
Oh, Lord.
Steve E says Soylent Green. Well, if you've ever watched that movie, there was a movie that they brought out. I think it was in the 70s or the 80s. It's called Soylent Green, where basically there's this huge corporation. And they promise people that they will have the best and most nutritious meal. They just have to eat the stuff called Soylent Green. And then by the end of the movie, I'm just going to skip to the end. By the end of the movie, the dude who's the main protagonist finds out that Soylent Green is just recycled human beings. They just basically put people into this giant Mensa. And then what you're actually eating is like dead people. And... this is the movie. So I'm telling you, we're not far off. These guys are, you know, this World Economic Forum, part of it is like, no, it's not possible that someone could be so like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers, evil. But actually, like this Klaus Schwab is a bit like a villain from a movie, from a superhero movie. That's what he is.
And don't put anything past human beings. Human beings are capable of things. Hey,
right.
They will surprise you. It right. sounds like a lot of hogwash. But dude, hey, things are happening outside. Hey, people are capable of a lot, like consuming one another.
Corona's Boring says, they missed out on boogers. You don't want to throw that nutrient out of your nose. That's also upcycling.
Oh.
Okay,
and then
G-Star says, every time I hear of the WEF, I hear Star Wars Dark Side music. Yeah, that's right. Anyway. All right, so I thought I'd upset you this morning because yesterday we were talking about food for about, I don't know, half an hour, Mash and Leanne and I. And then after the show, I was like, I was just hungry. So today, after we've talked about all this gross stuff like insects and upcycling humans and eating, you know, snot from your nose, I don't think anyone's going to be hungry today. So we'll do that intermittent fasting that they spoke about. That's the biggest part of the pie, remember? The biggest part
is... I love how these trends... We went from Tim Noakes to now like, no, now don't even eat.
No.
Like, don't cut out carbs. Like, cut out everything. Now, don't breathe. And now recycle human beings.
These are the people who are making decisions for us. Okay, so Flax, I don't know if we're going to see you again before your birthday. So happy birthday for that! And 30's a big one. It's going to be
thanks very much.
It's going to be loads of fun.
That's so crazy. I'll see you when I'm a different age again. This is the last time you'll see me when I'm 29.
I got bad news for you, but that's kind of how it works every time. I mean, even if I see Debung every week, she's always a different age.
Yep, literally. Always a little bit of
oh, wow.
You must enjoy the club, man. That club sounds amazing.
Oh, my God. You'll see me at the Sommers next year. I'm going to be, once they catch on to me at the club, I'm headlining the Sommers.
That's what I'm talking about.
they'll put me in the vacation club.
Yeah.
Ooh, vacation club.
Mm-hmm. So Tracy says, in 2030, our windscreen will be like the buffet. It'll be all splattered bugs. Mmm, yum.
Yo, guys.
No, have you seen, though, that they're trying very hard to market these insects to us? Who was it the other day that I saw? Some famous person who was saying, oh, no, insects are great. I love eating insects. I had a something the other day, like a schnitzel of bugs or whatever, and I thought,
what is the fear factor? What is happening? Like, watching Fear Factor growing up, you saw why we shouldn't be eating bugs.
Correct.
It's not fun to eat, guys. Like, now what, we're normalizing this? Whoa.
I'm out.
Nah, sign me out. No, thank you.
What else did they have on Fear Factor? They used to make people, like, it wasn't just bugs. No, it wasn't just bugs. There were other things they made them eat and taste. It was like
animal.
Yeah, like animal balls and shit.
Like weird stuff, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I would rather eat animal balls than bugs.
Would you rather eat animal balls or brains?
Well, if it's animal balls or brains or bugs, I'll still rather go for animal balls or brains. I think there's more nutrition in animal balls or brains. But I'm not lining up for it. I mean, we've discussed this before too. I don't know how we're back on food, but there's some parts of animals that you're not meant to eat, you know? Like it's not for me.
At all.
No. And you can, what did I have the other day that I thought, oh, you know what it was? So I went to this restaurant and ordered duck. And you know, if you don't cook duck properly, like a lot of people don't know how to cook duck. I don't know how to cook duck, so I'm not going to claim to know anything about it.
Yeah.
But if you don't do duck properly, it can be a real disaster. It's not like cooking chicken. And people will tell you that, yeah. The people who really know, that's why I'm just quoting them. I don't personally know. I've never cooked duck in my life. But if you do it right, I mean, like crispy duck is awesome. But you can't have it too often. It's like, you know? Not something that you would. Yuck. First of all, it's expensive. Second of all, it does taste very different to chicken or anything else. And it's a nice thing to have every now and then. But even that's quite exotic these days. I mean, I don't think it's not something that I would have on the menu once a week.
Nah.
No, but it's what you're saying. It's what you're saying about like people messing it up. Like you have to know how to make it. If you leave it for just like an extra 5 minutes in the heat, it now gets way too dry. So there's like a sweet spot where you need to stop. And there's only a few places, I think, that know how to make a good duck. So it's quite sad when you get there and you're like, I need to sit there and eat it.
So you're not going to be doing it in the air fryer. Bing! Like and subscribe anytime soon.
Love it. I don't think so. No. I'll just leave that to the experts. I'll just keep it here with like the chickens and the slap chips. That's where we'll live.
That's your thing. All right, so there we are. And suddenly we're back on air fryers with Lebang. No surprises there. Are you supposed to wash duck before you cook it? You see, yesterday, again, Mash didn't wash his chicken before he cooked it the other day, and someone like gave him shit about it on social media. G-Star says...
I just wash the chicken.
Yeah, you have to wash your chicken before you cook it, but then some people said you don't. Some people said it's actually...
No, you don't. Take it out the packet and you put it in the air fryer. The heat will kill everything.
That's what I thought, too. If you consider the lies we are expected to believe in today's world, eating bugs and upcycling people is not such a stretch. I mean, some pro-choicers want abortion available even after birth. There are people that crazy. Matthew Dixon says, balls with chilies. Will the menu say balls on fire?
That's good.
So, in other words, as propaganda says, finding insects and rats in restaurant food is actually just the prequel to what we're actually going to end up doing, where we will be eating this stuff as part of the meal, not just as like a, oh, my God, there's a bug in my food. It's going to be like, oh, yay, there's a bug in my food. I'm so lucky.
We won't charge extra for that. That was a mistake. Sorry.
The bug is on the house.
Yeah. That bug we'll give you as a bonus. Oh, my God. Okay, over here, if you consider the, hang on, wait a second. Welcome to the GCS Fear Factor edition. Well, we did an edition of that, a while ago, a couple of years ago though. I used to do this, Survivor game where I'd get celebrities in and make them eat weird things. I think one of the things that they had to eat was Mapani worms, but that's, you know, they all like dried out.
Not fine. Great.
So I've tasted those before. We had Mapani worms. What else did we have?
It depends how you prepare them. Like, I've had delicious Mapani worms.
Really?
Like, my mom makes them in, like, a gravy. Yeah. And they're soft. It's not those hard ones where you're like, it's actually, like, really, really nice. It's good. That I get.
Would you have it as, like, the main dish or, like, a starter?
It's the meat. So if you're not having chicken or beef or whatever, you just do the pop, and then you throw in some of the party whips, dog, you're sorted.
You see? This is where I'm just going to point out this. This is where it starts, guys. Now you're saying okay to Mopani worms. Before you know it, you'll be eating all that shit on that menu I just gave you from the World Economic Forum.
I just joined the cult.
You did. All right. Listen, Flax, good luck with your birthday, and we will we'll celebrate with you, even if we're not there in this gangster club with you. And Lebang, we will see you next week.
See you guys next week. Have a good
one,
guys.
Great. We're going to carry on with the show. We've got other good stuff heading your way in the next hour, so don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. Stick around. I'll tell you what's up next in just a moment. CliffCentral.com.